If you knew that you could not fail, what would you aim for? Find out on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
We are in this arc on the topic of discipleship, and it ends, this season ends on this episode, and we're looking at this concept of allness. Thanks for joining us on this episode, or this season, or the show of Inverse. It's been a long quarter, but it's been a very good one. It's been a very efficacious one.
Efficacious,
right. Yes. It has really amplified, ameliorated my walk with the Lord Jesus. There you go for an SAT word, Sebastian. You can look it up on your dictionary as an app.
Right.
On your
I don't believe in education.
You don't believe in education? Well, if you guys wanted to know, we will be looking at the topic of education in our next season. And Sebastian, our resident extrovert, will be leading out in some of those talks on education and what it means to be educated. But we're going to look at the concept of allness on this episode. And so, Jonathan, we so desperately need your prayer for us to stop fooling around and getting into the Bible verse.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for how you've blessed these last 13 weeks. We have grown so much in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. And Lord, as we close this quarter, we pray that your Spirit will be with us once more, helping us to understand what this now all means for our lives. And as you call us, as you send us out, just bless us as we study and our viewers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is a question for Sebastian, but actually I thought about broadening it up. What are some things you remember from this entire season? Different elements that we started on in the middle of this corona pandemic, and we went through, you know, the Brady Bunch style of the different screens, and then we came back to the studio. And who knows what will happen in the rest of 2020 and thereafter. But what do you remember about discipleship? How has the Lord blessed you during this season? Siku?
Yeah, the main thing that I got out of the season, that discipleship is about following Jesus. That it all centers around him and becoming more like him through, you know, spending time with him and then sharing him with others as well. But Jesus as the center of what discipleship is all about.
Amen. I've been blessed, in many ways in the studies that we have had. But 2 weeks ago when we talked about the coals of fire, that was really profound to me, how we saw that the church is people and it's a place of grace and training and community in Christ, but for the purpose of then discipling others and going to the world sharing the love of God. I've been just so blessed by that.
There's like acceptance and then dispatch.
Yes.
All from the imagery of fire.
Yes.
That was probably one of my favorite episodes, too. Resident extrovert.
I think for me, what's really impacted me is how discipleship can be broken down if you don't manage both components of the internal transformation with the external outreach. So to me, whether we were dealing with the individual components of fitness witness or air prayer, it's like, well, if you just pray, you'll eventually cease to pray, right? And then you have the evangelism cycle where it's like, let's prepare, let's plant, but I don't want to harvest. And so to me, there's always this battle between what's going on in the heart of the disciple with the external expression.
Yeah, people do bifurcate that, don't they?
Correct.
And they even do that at church, we've had enough of outreach, so we need to now do inreach.
Yes.
Or like, we've done enough inreach, let's now do outreach. But they're actually quite well integrated with each other. The best outreach is inreach, and the best inreach is outreach. And to be able to see that under discipleship, that's actually been a pretty good lesson.
To me, that's a profound marriage of concepts that will help you to be balanced, you know, in your walk with Christ.
So in our concluding lesson, concluding episode on this season, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to actually end with the verse that we started off with in Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission. This is the great mission statement for the Christian church and for every Christian disciple. And Siku, if you can read for us chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, please.
Okay. It reads, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Yeah, and just as Sebastian said, sometimes we take these verses and we put them into two categories, yeah? We have the some verses that are for all Christians, and there are some verses, that's for like the pastors and the advanced, you know, the geeky mm-hmm. Christians or the ones who are geeking out on the Bible text, the theologians. Mm-hmm. And so when we like a Bible verse, we're like, oh, that's for me. If we don't like a Bible verse, that's for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we do that. But here, he's talking to all of his disciples, mm-hmm. yes? And we looked at the first episode. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org for our Bible study guides. We also go to hopetv.org/inverse to see the entire season on discipleship. If you go to lesson one, we actually cover that Jesus is only talking about one verb here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of verbs here. He's talking about discipling, going, baptizing, teaching. Mm-hmm. But the one, in the original Greek, the one verb that's the active verb is disciplize, mm-hmm. make more disciples. Mm-hmm. Not just the pastors or the bishops and the elders and whatnot, but every Christian mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. We didn't really analyze the rest of that passage. What are some things that you see there, some repetitions, some powerful points, and as we have discovered and discussed all of discipleship this entire mm-hmm. season, what are some things that you see in light of all that?
I like the introduction. Mm-hmm. I like that we read verse 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. Here Jesus is, right before he is ascending to heaven, he's gathering his disciples, and it says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Mm. The fact that Jesus is speaking to a group where you have some who worship and some who doubt still, for some reason, it speaks to the fact that he is willing to work with all of us, mm. wherever we are, and he's sharing his call for us. Mm-hmm. But it shows, as we talked about discipling earlier, that the church is a place of acceptance, of grace, where some have to still grow, you know, mm-hmm. get rid of those doubts, and others are ready to go. And so Jesus, in the same way, he's now delivering this amazing call to go into all the world to these people, and he's willing to work with them. Mm. As we're going to see, he's going to provide everything.
And what a crazy, you know, idea that Jesus, knowing that mm-hmm. one of these people or some of them had doubts, yeah. still invited them to the mountain, mm-hmm. mm. still accepted their worship, and then commissioned them
yes.
to go make disciples. mm-hmm. So it gives us a sense that Jesus, in the very first part of his statement, all authority, mm-hmm. right? This is the basis of this whole commission. It's not you have answers to every question in your faith.
Right.
You may have some doubts. You may have questions. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to worship Jesus, answer his call, come to the mountain, mm-hmm. and actually go, then he's going to use you. Mm-hmm. Because he's saying, this is based on my authority mm-hmm. in heaven and in earth, not your ability.
This is before Acts chapter 2, before the Holy Spirit, before Pentecost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So these guys got all their issues still up in their face, and they're still, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. digging it out and saying, you know, they're still arm wrestling and drinking, you know, and getting tattoos and all these things. So this is going to my imagination. This is a regular group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
These aren't the elite, you know, titans yeah. that God has chosen. Yeah. Anything else, Sigu?
You asked any observations from verses 18 through 20, mm. That phrase, the word all mm. showing up over and over, like all authority is given to me, go preach to all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, mm-hmm. and I'm with you always. This portion mm-hmm. of scripture is all inclusive. Mm-hmm. Like when it's kind of, I guess, you know, kind of speaks in superlatives, kind of, mm-hmm. almost, like, all
authority.
Oh, I
love that word. You like that word? Yeah. Superlatives.
Superlatives.
But you said it with the sequel accent, yes. You know, that sequel accent made it nice.
She's regal today, so she needs to have that accent.
Your Majesty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But that Jesus has all of these things, like, whether he's giving us all authority because the mission that he has for us is all-encompassing. Like, yes. we have to reach all the world, and so we're going to need all of the power that we can get from someone who's able yeah. to give all of this power. So mm-hmm. it's a very grandiose statement that mm-hmm. he's making.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see the statement written on church walls and mm-hmm. in mission statements and so on. We're so used to it as Christians to hear this and read this. But let's imagine we are the disciples. You know, we have seen him, we've lived with him. He was a man, but he did these miracles, and we realized he's the Messiah. But then he dies, and then he's resurrected. Amazing. And now he's, you know, he's glorified, and he's giving this statement, and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. I mean, just imagine what is going through their head now. And to know we today, we can know that this same Jesus still has all that authority, and he is speaking to us.
Yes.
I mean, this is not just to his 12 disciples. This is to us. Mm-hmm. And because this has not been fulfilled yet. And so this gives me incredible courage and hope. You were asking in the beginning in your intro, you know, what would you do if nothing could stop you? Mm-hmm. Jesus has the authority and power to do all things. And so now he's inviting us into a journey where nothing is impossible. And that this is amazing.
And let's be, you know, honest in the fact that to answer that question, if you knew you couldn't fail, mm-hmm. every Christian would probably answer, if you're a true Christian, right? Mm-hmm. True disciple, you love Jesus. Yes, you can think of your earthly dreams, but the truth is, for Christ to come back,
yes.
to see his work finished, like if you told me, Sebastian, you can guarantee the gospel will go to all the world in this generation, mm-hmm. Jesus will come. How could I choose any other aim? Mm-hmm. How could I choose any other mission?
Yeah.
There's no possible way when you tell me you can't fail. Mm-hmm. Other things, you're like, yeah, that'd be great, but you'd still be dealing with the issues, right, of racism. You'd still be dealing with, you know, human trafficking. You'd still be dealing with corrupt governments, even if you accomplish whatever those dreams are. But the reality is that this, to me, is the answer to that question for a true disciple.
The yes. highest goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, highest aim.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we come back after the break, we're going to look at not just the superlatives that Jesus gave, but the superlative himself, the Lord Jesus, the giver of all. Stay with us.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Welcome back. We are really in this concluding episode, and our proper response to all this should be speechlessness,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? Shouldn't it? Jesus says, I'll give you everything mm-hmm. from someone who is all. I'll give you all power. I'll be with you forever until always. Mm-hmm. Just go do everything. All. You know, you're like,
yes, Papa.
Okay. Right. So there is a dissonance. So mm-hmm. I do want to ask you. I appreciate Jonathan's comments. These are the words like, oh, and we see them. Oh, yes. But in our real daily lives, sometimes these things don't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
And so which of these alls are, let me ask you, are problematic to you? Are do you find some dissonance? And where is the answer to all that? I guess mm-hmm. we'll get mm-hmm. to. But he does mention, as Siku mentioned, all things, all nations, all authority, all ways.
I think for me, the number five, when we talk about all ways, right, mm-hmm. right at the end, the fifth one,
mm-hmm.
that one is a challenge because there are moments in our lives where we don't feel like Jesus is with us. Mm-hmm. And even though the old Negro spiritual says, I want Jesus to walk with me, right, in my sorrow, in those things. And the reason why those type of songs resonate with us is because they somehow connect the spiritual to our sorrow and our suffering.
Mm.
And in those moments where we're inconsolable or we feel like things are falling apart, it's hard to go back to this promise and be like, I'm with you. And you're like, if you're with me, then why is all of this happening? Mm-hmm. Like, why is this so hard?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this so challenging?
Mm-hmm.
Or whether that even deals with your own temptations and sins in your own life. And sometimes we get sick of ourselves, right? It's like, why I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. So I feel like this one is definitely personally for me sometimes a challenge, not because I don't intellectually know mm-hmm. that Jesus is with me, but just by my experience existentially, you're kind of like asking yourself, is God really with me?
Mm-hmm.
And some reason your pain, your sorrow makes you question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, all nations is another challenge in the reality that we live in. Jesus has called us to go to all nations, mm-hmm. and missionaries have gone and have been successful in many places. But there are still today almost 3 billion people who don't really have access to the gospel or to the truth or have ever even heard about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And some of these nations are very hard to penetrate, to get into, to share. Some mm-hmm. of these nations are closed off. Mm-hmm. And so that is just a reality that we have to deal with. At the same time, though, I'm encouraged. Like, I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me that he has felt the call to go to a very, very hard place to reach, a place that is very close to Christianity and the gospel. And he doesn't speak the language. He doesn't know what he's going to do. But he said, I'm just going to go. I feel the call, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. Because he believes that all authority that Jesus has, mm-hmm. Jesus has in that place as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so he is going to go, he's going to listen, even though doesn't know what it's going to look like. And mm-hmm. I think this is often the problem. We have fear, we don't know, we have to organize everything and plan it all out. Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. You know, just go and do what I'm calling you to do today.
Which makes me think, if I take your two comments, kind of smash them together.
Yeah, sure.
That those of us, those I should say, who take this promise, mm-hmm. like your friend, mm-hmm. and they go, and this is in the context of missions, this is the context of outreach, this is the context of going out, mm-hmm. right, making disciples. They are in the middle of God's will, because mm-hmm. we covered that in a previous quarter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they know that in the midst of that kind of hardship, they know, and they look to this verse, and they know that God is with them.
Right.
And they hear the God's call, and they can claim these promises. Mm-hmm. But then there's others who are not in the middle of God's will, mm-hmm. right? And then they look to this verse, and then this verse seems empty to them. Mm-hmm. It's not because this verse is empty of its power. It's because they may not be in a place where this is really applying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they are, you know, for in the middle, you know, I don't want to, some place where they shouldn't be. Right?
Yes.
And they look to this and they're like, well, I'm with you always. Well, I just don't feel you right now. And where are you? And I'm failing. And like, God, you must not be around.
Yeah.
We impose that it's God's problem,
mm-hmm.
but we often are not in the middle of God's mm-hmm. will. We're looking at this friend.
Right.
I mean, I would see that God would bless in the fruits of this promise. Yeah.
And just to bring what Jonathan was saying closer to home, it is definitely important to go out and reach to, you know, countries, nations that have no access. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, legal access even to the gospel, to Christianity entering. But even at home, and I'm speaking specifically in, say, in the American context, you know, for example, the world comes here, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. my neighbor is of a different nationality, a different religious background, a different socioeconomic background in some situations, but sometimes, you know, neighborhoods are closed off. But there's the chance that right next door is somebody who is from a completely different background mm-hmm. than I am. Mm-hmm. And this promise applies to me knocking on their door mm-hmm. and realizing that God has the authority, and he's the one who is sending me to share the gospel with them. And mm-hmm. it may not be knocking on their door and saying, hey, Jesus loves you, but, you know, like we've talked about all quarter, just mm-hmm. preparing the ground, as in just being a Christian neighbor, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
But applying this promise even in our day-to-day mm-hmm. with our neighbors next door. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God may not call us to go overseas because he called us to go next door and we weren't willing,
mm-hmm. right.
you know,
True.
And he can't call us to go because we've already said no.
I'll press the accelerator on your comment, and not just to prepare the ground, mm-hmm. but also plant a seed with our neighbor. And I know what you meant, mm-hmm. but also cultivate and have a Bible study with them, call them to a decision in our office, and then disciple them, mentor them. We are called to do all five at the same time with wisdom, with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But there's some of us in our Christian discipleship, I am only called mm-hmm. to mentor. I will not do the other four. Mm-hmm. And until you come to me, I'm not going to. I am only called to make decisions. Will you? And we're just asking. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this wonky discipleship.
Yeah.
And there's other. I think the majority of us are like, I'm just called to prepare the ground, man. I'm just going to smile for Jesus. I'm not going to say anything.
Yes.
Just smile. And that's great, but it's mm-hmm. not the full package.
Right.
I think we can say that now after we've covered everything.
But Jesus has all authority and gives us all his power for all the stages,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we can participate in the full process of evangelism, in the full process of
I love it, all the stages.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you just brought it together.
What is difficult? what is difficult for me maybe in this experience is verse 20, teaching them to observe all things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the teachings of Jesus, he has taught so much. Mm-hmm. And then not are we human, not only human beings selective in what we want to obey, yeah. we are sometimes selective in what we want to teach, right?
Oh, of course.
So we go out there and we need to love all people, and that's easy. Don't judge. If you judge not, lest I judge you. I mean, that's more quoted than John 3:16 nowadays.
Right. Right.
But then Jesus has also talked some things about marriage mm-hmm. that in our society, I'm like, hey, you don't want to. Mm. He talks about some things about sexuality. He talks about some things on race relations. He talks all these things that are maybe not the core of what Jesus is talking mm-hmm. about, but they do become core yes. when they're related to all these different aspects of our lives.
Yep.
And sometimes you're just like, well, I don't know if I want to teach that. I'm just
correct.
I'm just, you know, it's
skipping
it's
over
a,
that
it's
one.
A challenge.
Yeah. You know, I remember an experience where I was talking about the Antichrist in the Bible, and I got invited to this Bible study. And as I'm explaining this context of, okay, who is the Antichrist, et cetera, and I went in to say, oh, you know, it's the Catholic Church, the papal system, and did not know there was a Catholic young lady there. They didn't tell me, right? So I'm just explaining this thing like full on, undiluted, right? Just this is what it is. Here's the facts. And then she's like, oh yeah, I'm Catholic. And I all I remember is like complete aghast. Like I was like, it's over, right? Like I just offended this person. I was like, wow, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. And she said, no, don't apologize. The fact that you didn't know, I appreciate the fact that you didn't hold back. And she says, I agree with everything you just said. Mm. And subsequent to that, she was baptized into the church. And she said she credited that Bible study because I didn't sugarcoat it. I didn't beat around the bush and like try to talk through it, like just explain what the Bible teaches. Yes. And she says, that's the church I want to be a part of, mm-hmm. where people just teach it as it is mm-hmm. in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I feel like teaching all things, we're sometimes so worried about being liked by yeah. people, we forget about the honor and the glory of God mm-hmm. and protecting his truth.
And by the way, if you are out there and you're just wondering, what did they just say? We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org and go to the section on Daniel. Jesus talks about reading the book of Daniel. And Jesus says, let him understand from the book of Daniel. And you look at all the Bible studies from Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and Daniel 9, and it identifies on who the Antichrist is, not for the focus of the Antichrist, mm-hmm. but the focus of Jesus. And Jesus is pointing out the one who will be his opposition, especially in the last days. So I just want to throw that in there because Sebastian just threw that in there. So I want to throw that in there. So we're all have a nice, happy, salad, balanced family here.
Salad.
Okay, so let's go to Siku. Yes.
Oh, I was gonna say the hard one for me on the all alls mm-hmm. Is also the all things, but from the perspective of teaching them to observe all things, because I realize that in order to teach someone to observe all things, I need to be observing all things. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest challenge for me is, you know, growing up in the church and hearing a lot of things. I don't know all things, but just a lot of things. Mm. And it's sometimes information is not the hardest part. It's the application part, mm-hmm. you know. So if I'm going to be teaching someone to observe these things that I know in my head, I feel an onus upon me to be observing it myself, mm-hmm. and that's the part that I personally struggle most mm-hmm. with, is that submission and that surrender to God to allow him to transform me to be that person who mm-hmm. is able to observe the things that he has already revealed to me mm-hmm. yeah. so that I can impart them to somebody else with the conviction, knowing that he is able to give you the power to observe mm-hmm. these things because he's done it in my life.
Yes.
So it's that part, but from a personal perspective.
And that tests you, the integrity that you have, Siku, as a person, which I really appreciate. And that's something that we all endeavor to be as Christians, yeah? We
yes.
just don't want to teach for the sake of teaching and then go back home and be like, well, right. well, that was hard, and
right.
do our own thing. We want to live that synchronous life between the inside yeah. and the outside.
Amen.
The answer, this is a wonderful promise, but it's a tough promise.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer to all these alls, I think, is found in Colossians chapter 1. It is the giver of this promise, mm-hmm. and I just love that the answer to the difficulty of the alls is the all himself,
mm-hmm.
yes?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to chapter 1 of Colossians, chapter 15, and
verse 15.
Thank you for that. And Siku, if you can read from 15 to 18, please.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven mm-hmm. and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
I'm going to continue verse 19 because it just keeps on going. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I mean, that is just like, right? I don't know what vocabulary word that would. It's just, you know. How does this answer, how does this passage answer what we just talked about in the first half?
You know, in the light of the reality of Christ, the incredible sacrifice that he gave for us, the incredible being that God is, his character, I mean, it's just, everything blows into insignificance.
Yes.
My personal dreams and desires and what I want, you know, to do and da-da-da, it's all insignificant in the reality of this beautiful Savior of mine who wants to work with me and use me. And wow, amazing. I get to play a little part in this? Incredible. And then not only that, I'm not only just a puppet, I'm an individual who he's going to respond to, he's going to work with me, he's going to direct me, and he's sending me into all the world, this incredible being with all his power to just use me as his tool. I mean, this is amazing. What a joy and what a privilege. I'm just in awe. And when I see Jesus and how he is, I just, all this stuff becomes insignificant. This world, my plans, it doesn't matter. I want to follow Jesus. I want to work with him. This is amazing.
That's our response is, what a privilege it is. Who are we? And hopefully that's your prayer out there, that I want Jesus to be my all in all. That's our prayer. Hopefully that's yours. Thank you for joining us this entire season on this topic of discipleship. And hopefully this season has been a boost in your walk with the Lord Jesus. May he be your all in all. May he be the answer to all. And may you be a big player or a small player, any participant, any role in this gospel work of saving all the world. God bless you. We'll see you here next week when we talk about the topic of education here on Inverse.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Callie Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.